A series of articles in tomorrow's Journal of the American Medical Association evaluates the performance of health maintenance organizations, HMOs. The HMOs held hospitalization costs down, and patients with rheumatoid arthritis did just as well in HMOs as in traditional insurance plans. But another study indicates the HMOs haven't done so well by the poor and the elderly. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
Jack Price of Odessa, Florida, joined a Medicare HMO to save money and, he hoped, get the preventive care that HMOs brag about. But when he got diabetes, he wasn't offered much help.
The only thing they told me was my primary physician and told me I was borderline diabetic, which means it's about like being just a little bit pregnant, you know. And he put me on medication to control it, told me I ought to lose some weight, that I ought to go on a fat-free diet, and that was it.
Jack Price didn't like his primary care doctor, so he left the HMO and went back on traditional Medicare. His new doctor sent him to a free 3-day seminar on eating and exercise at a local hospital 4 years ago. Price hasn't needed medication since. Now, HMOs, which pay doctors and hospitals reduced fees or a monthly fee for each patient, are often credited with slowing health care inflation. But John Ware of the New England Medical Center wanted to know the human price of cost savings, how people like Jack Price with diabetes or high blood pressure or other chronic illnesses were doing in HMOs. So Ware and colleagues surveyed more than 2,000 people in HMOs and traditional fee-for-service medicine, where doctors get fees for whatever they do, to see how well the patients did over a 4-year period. For most people, it didn't matter, but for a significant subset, Ware says, it made a difference.
For the chronically ill who were either in the elderly or in the poverty subgroups, outcomes were significantly worse in a 4-year follow-up than in the fee-for-service plans that treated equivalent patients in the same market.
Twice as many older people fared worse in HMOs as in fee-for-service plans, and poor people also did worse in HMOs, although poor people in Medicaid HMOs did okay. Sheldon Greenfield, who was in charge of the study, says HMOs aren't as bad as they look. He says that things are likely to have changed since the late 1980s when the data were collected. But John Ware says as HMOs try harder and harder to save money, it's also possible things may have gotten worse. Susan Pisano of the HMO Trade Group, the American Association of Health Plans, says just counting how people say they're doing isn't a good judge of the care they're getting.
It uses self-reports of health status as the only outcomes measure. And there are a number of other studies which show high levels of healthcare quality for Medicare and Medicaid patients in HMOs. Those studies either don't use self-reported measures or use them in conjunction with other medical measures.
Meanwhile, more than half of all states have put Medicaid recipients into HMOs or are planning to do so. And last year, both the Republicans and the Democrats introduced plans for revamping Medicare that would have made it easier for older people to join an HMO. Now, study author Ware is not opposed to managed care. He's in a modified HMO, and so is his wife, who has diabetes. But he says as politicians look to save money, they need to keep the chronically ill in mind.
Whatever we do in healthcare reform, we better evaluate it, and not just whether we're saving money, but what are we doing to people's functioning in their everyday lives.
In the meantime, the Federal Healthcare Financing Administration is trying to make it easier for people to find managed care plans that do well for the chronically ill. As of next fall, HMOs will be required to release information on patient health and satisfaction. This is Joanne Silberner in Washington.